I know a thing or two about Capital Idea's mission, but I'd love for you to tell us about Capital Idea and your mission, but through the lens of a story, a success story.
One of the stories that comes to mind is the story of one of our board members, actually, who's an alumni. And she started with Capital Idea in the early 2000s and went through our program, got her LVN. And then she came back to us. We just, at that time, decided to start doing registered nursing.
Okay.
So she came back and we allowed a cohort to come back and she was able to get her registered nursing degree as well.
Wow.
And we work a lot with associate degrees, so we're long-term training. So she got that and was able to get placed at a local employer, a healthcare hospital. And she was at that hospital for 15, 16 years.
Oh, wow.
So a long, long time. She's local. She was, we like to say, kind of like Workforce Solutions, local people into local careers. And that's exactly what we did with her story.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com. Welcome to Austin Hires Local, your inside access to the work behind workforce development, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. Join us as we dive deep into conversations with trailblazers across the local, state, and national workforce development ecosystem. From elected officials to industry leaders and educators, we uncover candid insights and innovative solutions shaping our workforce landscape. Get ready to explore the intersection of education, economy, and opportunity. This is Austin Hires Local, where the future of our workforce begins.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Austin Hires Local. We're the podcast that brings leaders from around our community, around our state, and sometimes around our country to have on the record, unfiltered conversations about what's happening in the world of workforce development. Today, I am so pleased to have a guest with me who's my friend, a colleague in the nonprofit space, Alicia Palacios Woods, who is the executive director of Capital Idea. So today we're going to talk about three things that I know are going to interest you. I want to know more about your career journey, how you went from being with economic development, a chamber, to being a leader in this nonprofit space. We're going to talk about who the Capital Idea clients are and what needs you're seeing of your clients. And speaking of needs, I'm hoping you'll talk to us a little about childcare and how that fits into your overall service portfolio, as well as what you're hearing from your clients about childcare. Are you ready to jump in?
Sounds great. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. So I like to ask all my guests an opening icebreaker question. And because at Workforce Solutions, we're all about jobs, and everyone has to start somewhere in a job. Tell me about your first job.
Sure. So growing up, I always played tennis.
Okay.
And I've been playing tennis since I was three.
Oh, wow.
And my dad always said, tennis is your job. It actually ended up getting me a scholarship to college at St. Edward's University.
Oh.
And so I did that through college. But when I was working on my master's, I actually was a tennis instructor at Austin Country Club.
Okay.
And so I would do some lessons there. And that was really great. It's a good, you know, first job, something I was definitely dedicated to and a lot of experience in. And so I would consider that my first job before you graduate and you kind of start working in your industry, your sector.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, probably if you added up the scholarship you got, it was probably as good as, if not better than, the wages of a part-time job. So
sure, yeah.
Kudos to you.
Yes, thank you.
So tennis is a first job. Do you still play tennis? Is it the way you kind of relieve stress?
I do play a lot less now that I have, you know, kids that are very active in their own individual activities, but definitely still keep my hand in it and like to play. I have a daughter now who also is really big into tennis, so it's great to get her out on the court and play with her.
I think you've been a little modest with us, which I appreciate, but I mean, you get to flex a little bit here. I played tennis for 1 year in middle school, but you apparently kept going. And you got a scholarship to St. Ed's to play tennis. Right. How'd you do when you were at St. Ed's?
I played there all 4 years.
Yeah.
And you're right. Okay, I'll flex a little bit.
Okay, flex.
But
come on.
I am in the St. Edward's University Athletic Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
The only female tennis player, I believe.
Get out. That's fantastic. Is there some like highlights reel somewhere that we can like connect to?
I think St. Edward's has a landing page on their website. I think it has a picture of me from circa, you know, college days.
Ooh, all right, we're going to have to go check that out.
About my singles and doubles record, but particularly love doubles, but had a really great time there at St. Edward's here in Austin.
Well, congratulations. Hey, I have an idea. Maybe there should be a Capladia fundraiser, like tennis tournament to raise some money.
You will participate. One year, you're ready.
I will be there as a fan in the stands.
Maybe we transition to pickleball because I think a lot of people are ready for that.
There you go. I mean, you can transition tennis skills to pickleball, right?
That's right.
Do you play pickleball?
I haven't yet. It's been on my radar. I know.
How do you not?
A lot of my friends
have. Is that because pickleball's beneath you as a tennis player? Is
no,
that what it is?
I don't have the equipment. I have all the other tennis
I think you're
stuff.
Saying you're kind of snobby about tennis.
No, I'm ready. I'm ready. We'll go out there together. We'll play sometime.
I think not, but you're very sweet for asking me. Thanks for sharing that. So you are the executive director of Capital Idea, and I know a thing or two about Capital Idea's mission, but I'd love for you to tell us about Capital Idea and your mission, but through the lens of a story, a success story that illustrates what you do. Can you share something with us?
Absolutely. And okay. I mean, in words, the mission is to lift working adults out of poverty and into living wage, high demand careers through education and career advancement. So that definitely translates into a lot of stories. We've been around for 26 years.
26 years.
Yes,
wow.
Yes. And so one of the stories that comes to mind is the story of one of our board members, actually, who's an alumni. And she started with Capital Idea in the early 2000s and went through our program, got her LVN. And then she came back to us. We just, at that time, decided to start doing registered nursing.
Okay.
So she came back and we allowed a cohort to come back and she was able to get her registered nursing degree as well.
Wow.
And we work a lot with associate degrees. So we're long-term training. So she got that and was able to get placed at a local employer, a healthcare hospital. And she was at that hospital for 15, 16 years.
Oh, wow.
So a long, long time at the bedside. During that time, she went back and got her bachelor's degree. And then
with Capital Idea's help?
Not with Capital Idea, on her own. She went back and got her bachelor's degree. So she was able to fulfill that. And then after being that long in the hospital, you know, you have those medical vendors who come in and kind of see where talent lies. She got scooped up and eventually moved out, away from the bedside and that employer, but now is working successfully for the medical vendor marketplace. And so she's still here in the area. She's local. She was, we like to say, kind of like Workforce Solutions, local people into local careers. And that's exactly what we did with her story.
I love that. And because both of us believe in people achieving their highest level of earning potential and career potential, it sounds like you can't really begrudge her leaving the bedside at some point. But what a great story and example of what you do. So talk to me about what industries you support. I mean, clearly that is an example of healthcare. And when I think of Capital Idea, I think of support in the healthcare industry. What other industries do you support?
Absolutely. So 1,000 students a year that we support.
Oh, wow.
Majority healthcare.
Okay.
So 80% are healthcare.
Okay.
But we do support some technology, IT, information technology, cybersecurity.
Okay.
We also do skilled technical workforce, which is advanced manufacturing and the trades.
Nice.
And so a smaller subset of those. So majority healthcare, though. So a lot of our time and energy goes into those partnerships.
Well, it sounds good. It sounds like you're tracking just as Workforce Solutions as what the targeted industries are and where there's opportunities for local career growth.
Exactly. We like to align with the higher local plan and
appreciate
the community plan.
It.
That's important, I think, to kind of all work together and working towards these, supporting these employers and supporting people into these good paying jobs.
Yeah. Well, you're speaking my language,
exactly.
Alicia. So thank you very much. So speaking of staying in touch with what's happening in the local market, the times they are changing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you are on the front lines
right.
of hearing from both employers that are trying to find skilled talent, but also working with a community of workers that really have identified and are looking for support mm-hmm. and skilled training to be able to launch themselves into that career pathway to connect with those employers, or maybe even continue to grow their skills on the job. But can you give us a sense of what are you seeing in the employment ecosystem right now? What are some of the challenges you're hearing from your job seekers mm-hmm. and the clients of Capital Idea, as well as how would you describe the current climate in the business community?
Off the bat, I mean, I think we've seen our region grow so much. So we're definitely seeing people come from all parts of the region. We now serve the 5-county area, although the majority of our students are in Travis County and City of Austin.
Okay.
So we and Capital Ideas really focus on doing grassroots outreach, so really going out into community, meeting people at libraries or at festivals or at fairs, or I think we have some info sessions too at Workforce Solutions offices. Mm-hmm. And so meeting people where they're at and letting them know that we're a resource for them. But some of the challenges they face and even entering is this the right time for me? Do I have the time to pursue long-term training and education? What does that look like? How do I pay for it? A lot of times these are working adults, so they've been in the workforce, they're working jobs, they realize they've plateaued in what they can earn as an individual, and so they're looking to level up. And so this is an opportunity we can provide them. Capital Idea provides and sponsors tuition, fees, and books, provides wraparound services, and then, of course, career navigation and access to resources. There are resources in the community, but people often don't know where to access them, how to go about fulfilling them. And so those are some of the immediate questions that people who are thinking, is this the right time for me, go through. When they apply, we explain more about the opportunities that we provide. And we're very realistic about, okay, this is the time commitment. This is how long it takes. On average, it takes students about 3 years to complete with us because they're working towards their associate degree. So we work through some of those questions. And so it might be that now's not the best time for them, but they might come back a year or two later because it is the right time. So once they get into school, then it becomes a whole different story of kind of living out, pursuing that educational journey. And we do a student survey every year where we kind of assess, what's your biggest challenge? What are the things that are worrying you?
This is for the students that are enrolled in Capital
Idea.
Correct.
Yeah. All the students that are enrolled, we send out the survey and we kind of see what's your biggest challenge? And this is connected to our strategic plan too and how we can align resources. And the top two, one of them is time management. And they say time management, but it's because that they're juggling and balancing so many things. Mm. Family life, they're still working, they're going to school, they're juggling tutoring or studying. And all of that presents challenges. And then the second is wellness, which is tightly related to kind of all of the pressure that an individual might be feeling when they're trying to add academic journey onto all the other things in their lives. And so those are some of the challenges that they face day to day. You know, we align resources to help support them in that. And we have a couple of new partnerships that we launched this last year that kind of address that. And of course, our navigators provide resources for them. On the employer side, definitely hearing, we know healthcare, there's big gaps in healthcare. One of the latest statistics that I saw was in registered nursing and just the gap, the shortfall in supply versus demand.
Yeah.
I think it's somewhere like 500 to 1,000 estimated registered nursing jobs that basically go unfulfilled because we don't have enough nurses coming out of the pipeline. And I know we're all really focused and working on that.
Sure.
But this gap still exists as more hospitals are being built, as our region continues to grow.
Sure.
So making sure that we're aligned with partners to maximize the number of people who are interested in the careers, can access the career, can go through the academics, can complete, pass their exams, and then, of course, get placed in those great jobs.
So one of the things I've long admired about Capital Idea is you have a really, I think, robust upfront assessment process. Mm-hmm. You talked about that. You alluded to it just a moment ago about how you want to talk to people about realistic expectations and asking, is this the right time for you? So a question I have is, does Capital Idea only serve people that are currently unemployed, or do you have clients who are already working, but they just, because they need a paycheck and they just want to progress in a new industry or in their current industry?
We're working with people, a lot of them are employed, some of them are unemployed, but they have to be low income. So that's with the federal poverty guidelines. So that's usually 200%. Sometimes we can go up to 250% depending on our funder. So they may be working, but they're underemployed and they're definitely not making enough for our region and what it costs here. So supporting them, enrolling them once they qualify. And you mentioned a good point too about assessing. I mean, not only is it meeting them at those festivals or fairs or libraries or info sessions, but once they come in, we do an assessment to say, okay, these are the careers that Capital Idea sponsors. There's 30 different careers. They're aligned with the Hire Local plan. We know they pay good wages, but is this a good fit for you? And so they take an assessment to kind of understand what those careers are, what are their interests, and does it match? And so that'll help them decide, okay, yes, I want to do this program, or no, I really need to look at something else.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com.
All right. So you were talking about how when you do an assessment of a potential capital idea client, you're sometimes not the right fit or not the right time for them. And you also mentioned in a previous response about referrals and other partners in the community. Can we go a little deeper on that? Because you and I, as nonprofit leaders, we exist in a broader ecosystem, employment, right, education ecosystem, where there's a lot of partners. But I'm wondering, since you are in the direct client service business, mm-hmm, how do you interact in this ecosystem? You talked a little bit about what employers are looking for, particularly healthcare employers. But I'm wondering, in general, how do you keep a pulse on, mm-hmm, industry? How do you work with them? How do you work with education? You talked previously, for example, about the need to increase the number of nursing graduates. How are you working in that space? Like, just how do you see your role? Because you can't be an island unto, right, yourself and do your work. So talk to us a little about that.
I definitely feel like collaboration is essential, mm-hmm, in our region, and you just get more done and you make better use of the resources that we all have. So obviously we work closely with Workforce Solutions.
Thank you for that.
Yes, you're welcome. And the efforts being done here and the services you provide. And so, you know, when our students come in, there's a lot of wraparound support that we provide. Each student is going to need a little bit something different.
Okay.
But some of the big items that we see is housing stability. So what does that look like? Are they renting? Are they owning? You know, what does that look like for them? When they come in, we do an assessment, and they actually give us a budget, and it says, like, this is where I'm with housing, transportation, my income, my expenses. And so we kind of assess, like, is this going to be doable for you? But when they come in, things change. Life happens. And so we have to be ready to respond to that and to support them through it. We want them to not only enter, but to complete. We have to persist and complete and get placed. At Capital Idea, we like to say we're with you from start to hired, because our end goal is not graduation. That's a huge milestone. But our end goal is placement in a high demand career. And
love
so
it.
Working on that. So housing stability is something that we look at. Transportation, especially as people are moving outside of the urban core, how do we make sure that they're connected back into academic institutions where they're receiving their instruction? Childcare, we know, is a big one in our community, and we have some movement happening in that area. Mm-hmm. We definitely work with Workforce Solutions very closely, mm-hmm, on that, making sure our parenting, mm-hmm, students have that resources, that stable resource. Of course, food insecurity and basic needs, utilities. We have funders who will support those types of things.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. So you can help someone with food insecurity?
We could help them with gift cards and such. So we have funders who will help us support that. And it really just depends on the funding source that we have. But sometimes it's like, you know, everything comes from one pot of money for a student. So if we can help with one thing, then they have more money to do something else.
Love
and
it.
So what are the resources that we have that we're able to support them with? So those are some of the things that we see with the students that we're trying to help them and support them through. Oh, another big one that I do want to mention is mental health and wellness services. So that's a partnership that we put into place last year. Definitely there's resources existing and there's also increasing demand. And so we wanted to put a couple more resources in place to be able to refer students and pay for them to have consistent support. And then one of the things that our survey also showed, that client satisfaction survey or the student survey, was around financial wellness, financial understanding. So at different points in our lives, we have a different understanding and need in our financial understanding.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So where they're at now, low income, it's hard to make ends meet and you're living a certain way. And so, but once they move into a high demand career where they're making maybe $30+ an hour, things change. And so we want to make sure that they have the education and the knowledge financially, mm-hmm, to be able to see, okay, what comes next for me? Can I invest in a house? Can I invest in a car? What does this look like? And so we have some resources that we're aligning for that financial understanding as well.
So you mentioned childcare, and childcare is big. It's a big need in our community. There's also some big news as a result of our election, mm-hmm, in November, local election with Travis County. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm curious. I know Travis County's still working on how they're going to roll out, mm-hmm, the program in the community, but as a nonprofit leader, mm-hmm, of an organization where childcare is an identified need for your clients, how are you hoping that with Travis County and access to more, mm-hmm, childcare scholarships, how are you hoping that Capital Idea will be able to play a part in that?
Well, I think definitely we want our students to be able to access those scholarships.
Sure.
And I think from a perspective of how that gets rolled out, I know there's definitely multiple things rolled up in that approved proposition. But one of them was, I think, increased childcare facilities. So where there's childcare deserts, there's always this question of, do students want to have childcare closer to where they're going to school or closer to where they live?
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
Data
yeah.
shows where they live and, you know, where their support systems are. And so it would be great to see some new childcare centers be able to come out of this approved bond election. And then additionally for the increased scholarships and the stability of scholarships, I think it's great that we have this specific funding source where it's multi-year. And so you can kind of plan and prepare for, okay, like you as a student, you know, you're going to be in school for 3 years, you're going to need the support and you have it for 3 years mm-hmm. instead of maybe 6 months, 12 months where you're just kind of, am I going to have
so
it
So that
or not?
Continuity and predictability.
Exactly.
Because as you said before, you're making a long-term commitment to mm-hmm. your clients, your students, but you're also asking them. That makes a lot of sense. Are you hopeful or have you had conversations with Travis County? Do you think that that longevity of childcare for families will be a component of what gets rolled out?
I haven't had conversations yet, but more to come.
Yeah. Through this podcast, she's yeah. saying you'd like to have conversations. I think that's what yes. I'm hearing you say.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Well, of course, at Workforce Solutions, we have long partnered with you in childcare. I want to compliment you and Capital Idea. You guys, as a nonprofit, saw early on the potential of partnering with Workforce mm-hmm. Solutions on childcare and the support that we can provide. And I know that through our history, there's been mm-hmm. some bumps mm-hmm. in the road, but I understand from our teams that things are mostly smoothed out and working well together. And I want you to know how grateful I am for that partnership and our ability to help Capital Idea clients who are also Workforce Solutions clients in mm-hmm. receiving and then maintaining that childcare. So great partnership there.
We appreciate that too. And it has, you're right. And there's always issues with funding, right? We're always, it's the nature of nonprofits to mm-hmm. say, okay, how are we lining it up? Okay, we have 6 months, we have 12 months, we have 18 months. And so, but I think we work together, problem solve, and make sure that ultimately we're supporting students and their children through the moments when they need us.
I can't help but think you gave an example of a client who has a limited budget. And then if you can help them, for example, with a food gift card, that means there's more room in there. I was thinking, well, it's not unlike your budget, probably at Capital Idea, if Workforce Solutions or another funder can help pay for things your students need, like
That's right.
childcare, then Capital Idea can
bring in more students.
Bring
exactly.
in more students and fulfill your mission.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there was a moment in our history where that did happen, where Workforce Solutions did come in and support us with childcare. And so that meant that part of our budget can be reallocated to other needs and serve more people.
I love that. And I really appreciate that you recognize that and that partnership. So thank you for that. So I'd like to ask you a little bit about technology. Now, you previously told us that IT, cybersecurity, was one of your industry areas that you support for training. But I'm wondering about artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can't listen to the news, read the news these days without hearing about something related mm-hmm. to AI. Last week before, it was DeepSeek. Mm-hmm. It's always in the news, and that also impacts cybersecurity, I'm sure, in some ways. But I'm curious, as a fellow nonprofit leader, how are you and Capital Idea thinking about incorporating AI into how you do business, whether it's fundraising, whether it's with your internal operations? So are you thinking about it? And if so, how are you thinking about it? And then an add-on question is, in working with the education community, are you seeing any changes in the incorporation of AI into educational programming that gets offered to your students? Because the workforce of the future will most likely have AI as a component of their job. So talk to me first as a nonprofit leader, how you're looking at it.
Sure. And I consider Capital Idea a very tech-forward organization.
Okay.
And a lot of the systems we have in place, AI definitely adds another layer and a lot of questions too. I think it's been really exciting that our community has had a lot of conversations, a lot of gatherings about AI. And I've been to some that are like AI in healthcare workforce, AI in nonprofits, AI in business, AI in data. And I think that's all really exciting. For Capital Idea, I know we've piloted some AI opportunities within some of our teams. So think about like marketing or development and going there first, because on the program side, I think about data security and in AI, who owns the data once it's out there, you know, what is that? And we have a lot of sensitive data. And so we have started using AI in that sense within our teams to help create efficiencies. And we've seen really positive results from that. What's exciting to me, some of the concepts that I've learned about that I think could be incorporated into nonprofits are AI agents. Mm. I think about the idea of AI agents being basically hubs of resource information. Mm-hmm. And so where you have individuals now having to understand what are the resources in the community, who's the contact, what are they offering, how do you qualify? You could have an AI agent actually hold all that information, mm-hmm. maybe scrape web pages for that information, and a navigator mm-hmm. could reach out and say, okay, AI agent, tell me this for this student, and mm-hmm. they could get an instant information. And so I see efficiencies being created there. We're not there yet. You mentioned the funding aspect, and I think yeah. that's important because it is another layer of expense for nonprofits to add that in. I think definitely opportunities for efficiencies and a case to be made. We're still trying to understand more about it, especially with the data security, data privacy front as well.
I appreciate everything that you've said. I've kind of, in a previous podcast with a guest, I talked about how I completed an AI course at the end of last year because I do feel like in the public sector, nonprofit sector, sometimes we are, as industries, kind of slow to embrace technology mm-hmm. advances. Sounds like, Capital AD, I heard you say technology forward. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, and of course, it's changing so quickly, mm-hmm. but I appreciate that. And I'll probably ask for your help later this year because I am interested in forming a nonprofit leader, like AI support group mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. yeah. best practice sharing group or mm-hmm. some way that we together maybe mm-hmm. can have a conversation with our peers, ask the question about AI integration, mm-hmm. but also ask ourselves and share, like, how do we use this technology to advance our missions? Since mm-hmm. so many of our missions in the nonprofit space and workforce and education space are interconnected. So look for that coming up. And I might ask you to be a partner with me in that.
I would love to. I think it's a great idea because I think the questions that we have as nonprofits are different from the questions that industry might have mm-hmm. or other sectors might have, and where our resources are different as well. And so I think to have a dedicated conversation around that for how we're looking at it and solving mm-hmm. that problem, it would be really important and effective.
I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk about your past and how you got mm-hmm. to where you are now. So when I first met you, I think it was on a Chamber of Commerce inner city visit, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. And you were the head of the Austin Young Chamber
right.
at the time. So I'm curious, talk to me a little bit about what you learned in that experience running a Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. running an economic development agency. What leadership skills did you learn? What did you learn about the linkage between workforce development and economic development? Mm-hmm. And how have you carried some of those lessons into your current role?
I've had an interesting career pathway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Came up to Austin to go to school, was one of the ones that never left. But my educational background is in graphic design and advertising.
Oh, wow.
And after doing that for a few years, decided, no, I want to move into nonprofit work. I really feel like it fulfills a lot of my values and purpose. And so I moved into development and fundraising. And then
I saw that you're a certified fundraising
executive. That's
executive,
right. CFRE,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I got into the nonprofit world and I really fell in love with it. From that first initial role in nonprofits, moved into the CEO of the Austin Young Chamber, and definitely a growth opportunity for me. I think I was 32 at the time. I'm putting my age out there, but 32 at the time, and running this organization that really
it was the young chamber,
right?
After all, so you had to be young, right?
Exactly,
to do it.
Exactly. And so it was a great experience, you know, working with an organization of individuals who are high performers, who are connected to community, who are passionate about the different things that we could affect as young professionals in Austin, Texas. Austin is a very young city, a vibrant yeah. city, but oftentimes young leaders don't have the status or the relationships to be able to affect things like policy. And so coming together as a group, we were able to have that a little bit more power and a little bit more a seat at the table
nice.
To have some of those conversations. And so what the Young Chamber did for me was give me all of a sudden a space to be in and a table to be at. And I met wonderful leaders like you and others in our city. And it really elevated how I was thinking about leadership, how I was thinking about living in this region. I think one of the big things it did for me was help me think about how interconnected all of our big issues are and how one affects the other and how elected officials, our government leaders, our nonprofit leaders, our industry leaders have to come together as well to solve some of these big challenging problems. Mm. That was very interesting to me. I was also in that role when the pandemic hit. And so that was also interesting to see how every leader was now faced with something for the first time. Mm-hmm. And we're able to bring in our different perspectives and experiences and leadership to solve some big problems that we had never seen before. So, you know, I look at that time as huge growth personally develop my development and as a leader and in my network as well. That really paved the way for my next step in my career here at Capital Idea.
How did you get connected with Capital Idea? Like how did you make that connection?
So I'd always known about Capital Idea because mm-hmm. of my first nonprofit role. Mm-hmm. It was at a nonprofit in Georgetown mm-hmm. that supported young women in crisis.
Okay.
And they also provided educational opportunities or access to, and Capital Idea was one of those partners. And I remember the program manager would always say, Capital Idea is the gold standard. If we can get our girls in there, they'll be set. And so I always had that idea. And I'd been a part of leadership groups and strategy sessions where I had met the founder of Capital Idea and had conversations then. And so, you know, flash forward 10 years later, we ended up in the same conference together. And so reconnected, kind of had coffee and learned that they had leadership opportunities on their board of directors. And so I ended up joining the board of directors.
Oh, so you served on the board.
I did. I did serve on the board also through the pandemic. And so, yeah, and it was a great time. And I didn't know at the time that he would be retiring and I'd have this opportunity. But as I looked at it, I thought, well, this could be a really great next step. I've always believed in education as a pathway to prosperity. Mm-hmm. It's definitely had positive impacts in my family's lives. And so you can see the impact in an organization like Capital Idea and how that statement is really driving home impact and outcomes.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate the way you're able to weave all these experiences together. And what I also heard you say, and this is what's true in my life, is you don't always know at the time how experience you're having or the way that you give back. Like you volunteered to be on the board. You don't know how that can impact connections you make or next opportunities you can have. And isn't that what we really want to do through our work is help our clients, help our students be put in positions, mm-hmm. put themselves in positions where they can build that network and start to get those opportunities.
That's right. Exactly right.
Last question that I have is, what's next for Capital Idea? As you think about 2025, you think about beyond 2025, what's ahead? What are you excited about?
I'm excited that the last couple of years we've seen our enrollment grow. You know, I think the pandemic really impacted a lot of trends in enrollment. And so we've all worked hard as a community to get that back because we know that we need people into these really great jobs. And so we've had a really great first quarter to this fiscal year in recruitment and enrollment. And so when I think ahead about the future of Capital Idea, I think, okay, now we've got people back, they're interested and they're ready. How do we make sure that we have the funding aligned for them? And how do we put those other resources together to support an increased number of people going through the program?
That's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. And thanks for being here today. We've been friends, we've been colleagues for a number of years, but it's really delightful to sit down and get to talk to you, learn more in depth about your leadership style, and get to know you personally. I can say sincerely, I'm more impressed than I was before, and that was a high bar. So thank you again for being here.
Thank you, Tamara. You're very welcome. Happy to be here.
Thanks for listening to Austin Hires Local, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. To learn more about what you heard today or to see what Workforce Solutions Capital Area can do for you, visit WFSCapitalArea.com. To stay updated on new episodes, subscribe to Austin Hires Local on your podcast app of choice. Until next time.